Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Wednesday, October 30th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 55, the fifth paragraph. In this book, you will read the experience of a man through two paragraphs ending, brought him to the point of self-destruction. We'll be commenting on these two paragraphs today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Letty G., 12 Traditions, Blair S. Readers of the text, Shelley E., Kara L., and Ann S.C.H. The reference number for Tuesday, October 29th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,868. That's 21868. And for this morning, Wednesday, October 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,870, 21870. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Yvonne A., and Eileen M. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting for the entire month of October. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Letty G. from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I am a compulsive overeater in recovery today. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to each such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and thank you for all the service and everything that I get from this meeting. Have a beautiful day.
And I thank you so much. Thank you, Letty G. And I'm now going to ask Blair S. to read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Thank you, Dawn. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He expresses Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And Tradition 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you all for your service and your sharing.
Thank you so much, Blair S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book and we're on page 55, the fifth paragraph. In this book, you will read the experiences of a man through two paragraphs ending, brought him to the point of self-destruction, and we'll be commenting on both paragraphs today. I will now ask Shelley E. to read and then share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater on the way to Texas, somewhere in the middle of the country. Page 55, the Big Book. In this book, you will read the experience of a man who thought he was an atheist. His story is so interesting that some of it should be told now. His change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. Our friend was the minister's son. He attended church school, where he became rebellious at what he thought an overdose of religious education. 3 years thereafter, he was dogged by trouble and frustration.
Excuse me, I can't hear you. Could you start over? I couldn't hear you.
I'm sorry, Dawn, do you need me to start over?
You don't need to start over. We can hear you just fine. Just go ahead, please.
Okay.
You're fine. Yeah, you're fine. Thank you.
All righty. I turned it up. Wow.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that interruption.
For years thereafter, he was dogged by trouble and frustration. Business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide. These calamities in his immediate family embittered and depressed him. Post-war disillusionment, ever more serious alcoholism, impending mental and physical collapse brought him to the point of self-destruction. I'm going to take a second to get my bearings. My phone, I have about a million people calling.
Hi, Shelley. Could you press star 1, please?
This is so fun today. Am I better?
You're perfect.
Okay. All right. Did I get started or did I not?
We were just about ready to hear you share,
okay.
But we hadn't heard you start yet. You're doing great.
Okay. All right. Absolutely no problem. As most of you guys know, this paragraph is setting us up for Fitzmaio's story of transformation. And it's told in more detail in the second half of the book, Our Southern Friend. when I read it last night, because Dawn told me I was reading today, in my old fashion of reading the big book, I identified out instead of identifying in. I thought, I'm not a minister's kid. That's one thing I was hanging my hat on. And then after prayer and thinking about it, I thought, wait, parts of this really do resonate with me. I came into program a little negative on organized religion. I touted myself as spiritual. I also had calamity in my immediate family. My children are addicts in the beverage program. I wasn't suicidal, but I really didn't care if I lived or died. So is that suicidal or not? I don't know. It's certainly not a will to live. And I was existing in a chaotic life of addiction. So it's actually these stories that help me see myself and where I have pockets of agnosticism. And it also, each one of them offers me an aha moment where I do recognize myself. Coming into program, I thought I was so unique, and my situations and my experiences were, I lived in that yeah, but attitude. If you only knew what happened to me, blah, blah, blah. And the truth is, I'm not unique. I'm certainly not unique in my disease. I'm uniquely and divinely created, but I'm not unique in my disease. We all have similarities, and the more I'm in program, the more I find that out. We've all had a shit show of some sort. And so what I found was my biggest pocket of agnosticism was my misconception and my misunderstanding that prayer and fervent prayer would net a positive result. I really had the idea that if I only prayed, everything I wanted would happen. But come to find out, I need to be praying for God's will. And the truth is, sometimes bad things happen. And realizing that God's will was hard, was hard for me to realize that sometimes his will was not what I thought it should be. But, like the man, who am I to question his plan or his plan for me? So what I know now is he has access to the master plan. And I can only see the little street I'm living on. There's a reason for good and bad. And my job is to trust him, to get out of his way, and not question, but to listen for his next direction, and then to carry it out. So today, this moment, I'm a recovered addict, but I'm a former master manipulator, a liar, and can be very fluent in victimese, I'm telling you right now, just like Fitzmaugham. My change of heart has been like his, dramatic, convincing, and moving. And guys, thanks for letting me share and go on this journey with you guys. I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. So appreciate it. What a beautiful way to get us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these paragraphs. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Laura M. from Northwest Florida.
Laura M.
Rachel R.
Rachel R. Who else would like to share? Press star 1.
Jennifer H.
Jennifer H. Okay, let's start with those three. I have Laura M., Rachel R., and Jennifer H. And Laura, your time starts now. You have 3 minutes. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much, Dawn, and thank you to everyone who's here. This is Laura M. In Northwest Florida. I am most definitely a compulsive eater. The thing I'm going to identify in with today of the reading is the last phrase, brought him to the point of self-destruction. I picked up food about 5 days ago after having more than 4.5 months of abstinence, and that was the biggest chunk of time I'd had in a long while. And I just, I keep forgetting that part of my disease is the forgetting, not necessarily in my head, but in my heart, forgetting that I have a power I can rely on, forgetting that I definitely have this disease and that wishing it were not so is not going to actually do anything. that living in a fantasy does not change my reality. I mean, it does. You all know it changes my reality, but not in the way I want it to. So I'm reminded again today, thankfully, that I can ask my higher power for help. You know, I prayed that my higher power would give me the willingness to put the food down, the willingness to surrender to my higher power. And I woke up today very determined to get abstinent again, to get on a meeting, to take action, to do the things I know I need to do in this program in order to get well and be well. I'm learning again, I cannot do it on my own. And I don't know if any of you have seen the movie 50 First Dates, but Drew Barrymore is the main character, and she wakes up every day with amnesia and doesn't have any idea what's happening in her life. And the people around her have to explain what has happened and what her life is like. And I feel like every day, in a way, that's what happens. I wake up and I've forgotten. I have a higher power I can rely on. I've forgotten I have this disease, again, not in my head necessarily, but in my heart. And I need to remember through prayer and meditation, connecting with my conscious, having conscious contact with my higher power, and remembering again through working this program, getting on a meeting, making outreach calls, you know, remember that this is the way I have to live today if I want to be well and live well. And I don't want to stay in the food, you know, I can't. I mean, I woke up today, I felt horrendous yesterday from 5 days of eating. I couldn't even remember what I had done most of the day. And I know, you know, as much as I was trying to be present with my child, I was absolutely not present with myself. So today I'm going to live differently because this program gives me the opportunity to do that. And also because all of you keep showing up. You know, I'm thankful for the people who have been in the food and show up, but I'm also thankful for the people who are recovered that keep showing up, because if you were not here having this meeting, I would have nowhere to go to get well. And so I'm grateful that, you know, after a relapse, I know where to come, and not just knowing where to come, but also not being overcome with shame to keep me from getting on a meeting. When I show up at this meeting, I know I'm going to have love and compassion and understanding for this disease, and not shame directed at me, you know, validating the shame I already have. So I'm glad that through some amount of recovery over the years and also through my disease, that I know today I don't have to feel shameful of this disease. I can put that down and instead reach for recovery. Thank you for letting me share. I'm really grateful to be here.
Thank you so much, Laura M. from Florida. Rachel R., it's your turn to share, followed by Jennifer H. If you're just joining us, we're talking about page 55, the fifth paragraph, starting with, in this book, you will read the experience of a man through two paragraphs ending brought him to the point of self-destruction. So, Rachel R., please share and let us know where you're calling from. Thank you.
Hi, this is Rachel R. from California, and I wasn't going to share because I was like, oh, I don't identify with this passage, but I do have some things like here that like his change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. And I think that when I got into program and I really understood what my disease was about, the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, that my change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. And especially after coming back from a relapse a few months ago, that change of heart is definitely dramatic, convincing, and moving, seeing the powerlessness and the strength of the disease after not being abstinent for a few months, after having a few years of abstinence, and being dogged by trouble and frustration. I think that relapse really got me to have a healthy respect for the disease, and it definitely brought me to the point of self-destruction. And the scary part is I see that it could bring me further to the point of destruction if I don't, you know, if I didn't have that change of heart that was dramatic, convincing, and moving. This disease will kill me. And studying the big book, coming to meetings, sponsoring, listen to what my sponsor says, you know, and you know, following the guidance that I get from fellows and my sponsor, is critical. And this is also an area that I need to work on, is that listening for what my higher power's will for me is, listening to what listening and trying to go on my spiritual path. And I can also see here that this person is like, you know, when having to go to religious school and having a father who's a minister, he might have felt like he was overdosing on this. So too much of a good thing is, you know, what got me here in terms of like sweets and whatnot. But I can see that that's somebody who's being forced into this rather than it being a choice or out of desperation could easily rebel. But yeah, I think that this passage I can relate to, even though I thought that I couldn't, you know, I heard, you know, the opt out of something that doesn't, you know, apply to me, but looking for where I do identify, or even looking just a little deeper at the passage to see where this may be applicable to me, is what I did this morning. And I do see, you know, how I can identify in on this. And that is all I have. And thank you, everybody, for their service. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Rachel R. from California. Jennifer H., it's your turn to share. Please let us know where you're calling from, and then I'll take some more names.
Thank you. Hi, yes, this is Jennifer H. from California. Sorry about that. Thank you so much for being here for us today, Dawn, and encouraging me to share. You know, I've been in this program for a while, I have 3 years of abstinence from compulsive overeating and sugar addiction. However, I am always on the meeting, but not one who shares very much. I have, you know, I've learned that I just have this tendency to think that I don't have anything to say, when the truth of the matter is that I do have something to say. I really identified with this part where it says at the end, again, brought him to the point of self-destruction, impending mental and physical impending mental and physical collapse. You know, I too am a member of another program and have many years of recovery, and I know about a higher power and have a higher power and use this literature. In this one area of my life of food, I just couldn't turn it over to my higher power. I just couldn't, or I would try and fail and try and fail. And then it got to the point where I was on my way to impending mental and physical collapse. It was eating me alive, so to speak, no pun intended. I, you know, had put on so much weight that it was hard to walk. I couldn't breathe. My physical health, my numbers were high in terms of my blood work and everything. And I was on the verge of, I knew I could die. I really knew I could die. And it was very frightening. And, you know, an angel I ran into in a grocery store one day, you know, when I was at this point of self-destruction, an angel, a 2-minute interaction with somebody who had just started the program and was on fire for this meeting. And I heard, Vision for You and the Big Book. And I knew that, you know, there is a solution in the Big Book. And I knew that. And I was just at that point where I was willing, you know, my higher power knew that that's what I needed to hear to get me to this meeting and on this, on these calls. And I'm so grateful for that, because, you know, my life has turned around. I got a sponsor, I got really busy, I got abstinent. And, you know, today, my life is so much better, you know, and I'm able to do the things that I wasn't able to do prior to. And in addition to the freedom that has been given to me as a result of this program, I have been brought from the gates of death. And I know that. And I'm so grateful. And I don't ever want to forget that, you know, that I don't live on that path of self-destruction today. And again, once again, thank you so much for just encouraging those of us who don't share, particularly myself, to reach out and share. Thank you, and have a great day, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Jennifer H. from California. Yes, having the courage to share, you did a beautiful job. Thank you so much. All right. Well, I am going to now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So we're talking about page 55, the fifth paragraph. It starts with, "In this book, you will read the experience of a man through two paragraphs ending, brought him to the point of self-destruction." So who would like to carry the message today?
Jim C. New York.
Liz
was
the
that, was that June, who from New York?
Jim, J-I-N.
Okay, Jim K. from New York.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jim. Okay, Elizabeth, what was your initial?
A, as in apple.
Okay,
Michigan.
And where are you from? Michigan?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Freya H., Colorado.
Ruby
Freya
H.,
Colorado.
Ruby H.
Oh,
Ruby H.
Yeah.
And where are you from, Ruby? Okay, we'll get that later. Who else would like to share?
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Laura W.
Laura W. Okay, anyone else want to get into this lineup? Beautiful.
Janice
Thank you
K.
so much. Janice K.
Yes.
Janice K. Very good. Thank you so much. All right, Jim K. from New York, please get us started, followed by Elizabeth A.
Hi, good morning. This is Jim C., actually, from New York. Thank you for your service, and thank you all for being here. And listening, it really is so different for me to join a call like almost every day and listen to people share so much of spirituality and their belief in a higher power. I definitely was resistant of that early on. For years, I avoided OA because that's a religious program. And I'm so, so grateful that the room I walked in person was full of people that made it clear to me that that was not the case. And then, of course, Vision was recommended, and I have, it's definitely become a home meeting for me, and I appreciate that. And I'm in the midst of my spiritual transformation right now. And it's really cool. And I think the coolest thing about it is I don't feel lonely anymore. And I think some of that is that you're all here, right? And in my in-person meeting, I've got a lot of people now that understand me and what I struggle with. But there's like this deeper inner loneliness. And I have a wife and a family and friends. So I can't define that loneliness or that hole, but there was something in me that was so missing. And I realize now that just being open to the idea of a higher power, I don't feel that hole anymore. I don't feel that deep loneliness anymore. And that's part of this spiritual transformation, I think. And that is really amazing. And talk about the freedom. I feel a whole lot of freedom from that. So, I think that's all I've got today. I really appreciate everybody being here and the opportunity to share. And I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jim C. from New York. Elizabeth A. from Michigan, it's your turn, followed by Freya H.
Good morning. This is Elizabeth A. from Michigan. And I don't share very often, and I find it very difficult, and I'm not quite sure why. But I guess it doesn't matter why. I relate to this in such a deep way, being embittered toward religion. I did crawl in here in 1987, and I am a Christian. My husband was an associate pastor, and we went through spiritual abuse from the leadership of a church. And I'm cynical now. I mean, I still press in and press on. And seek my higher power, and yet I still now am guarded because I, you know, as it says in the, I think the AA 12 and 12, we see the ugliness, we don't see the beauty of the forest for the ugliness of some of its trees. And that's how my mind is. I also relate on in the fact that I am dual diagnosed, which means I'm recovering from the eating disorder. I am recovering, thank you God, not comfortable yet saying recovered, from bulimia, bulimorexia, compulsive overeating, anorexia, just brutal. This addiction took me to the lowest imaginable, and I also suffer from depression, and I've been through bouts where I've been bitter with God and just keep rowing my boat, seeking God and trusting and going through some rough waters and the death of my father and just, you know, one day at a time. I did have a one-day relapse in 2016, and I want God to be the hero of my story, much more reliant on my higher power, and am still stretching myself. And I guess I'll end with a saying that keeps kind of prodding me on. There is no growth in the comfort zone and no comfort in the growth zone. So I think being uncomfortable is part of my higher power's, you know, plan for me. And to just trust him. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Elizabeth A. from Michigan. Freya H., it's your turn to share, followed by Ruby H. And please let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you. This is Freya H. I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor. I am calling from Colorado. Thank you for your service, and thank you for all the shares. And I feel like this story can be easy to relate, to identify out. And hearing it this morning and hearing other people share, I was struck by like, oh, how much I could relate to. Because I definitely had quite a heavy dose of religious education growing up. And isn't that so interesting that the things that I am raised with, I tend to take for granted. So my attitude was, you know, just taking it for granted. And the truth is, I got a lot of incredibly useful stuff from that religious education, a really, really solid, beautiful idea of a higher power, great community. But because it was always there for me, I think that I didn't appreciate it. You know, just I tended to scoff or belittle or, you know, kind of just roll my eyes at, oh, yeah, that religious community, because obviously it was human and it wasn't perfect. And then going on in the paragraph when it talks about all these things that happened, you know, all these calamities that took place in his life, I'm not saying those aren't hard things, but it does, the way this paragraph is written, it kind of strikes me as self-pity. And it's like, oh, poor me, I had this life thing happen, I had that life thing happen. Because if I choose to look at my life and when a bad thing happens, I kind of blame God for it, or I see that as, an absence of God. Like, see, there's evidence that there's no God, or if there is a God, you know, he's certainly not taking care of me. It's a pretty self-pitiful place, and it's, I feel like I need to turn my, I need a new perspective on it. So what I've learned through working my steps is that these are life things that happen. And that if I choose to see it through a God lens instead of a self-centered lens, this is just stuff that happens to everybody. And God has always been present in it with me and always brought amazing things out of it. You know, and that if I didn't come to that point of mental and physical collapse, I wouldn't have any need to surrender and I wouldn't have any need to find the amazing gifts that come when I do surrender. So I've been taught, and I'll wrap up with this, I've been taught and I try to practice just gratitude for not getting what I want. And that when, you know, when things come along that I didn't choose, like, okay, all right, God, you know, help me to, you know, have this be another way that I see evidence of you working in my life. You know, have this strengthen my faith and also strengthen my usefulness and my compassion to others, rather than poor me, I didn't get what I want. See, this is a sign that God is not there for me. So grateful to be here. Thanks for the opportunity to share. I will pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Freya H. from Colorado. Ruby H., it's your turn to share, followed by Wendy M. And Ruby, please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Ruby H., and I am definitely a compulsive eater. I'm from California. And I'm really happy to be on the meeting right now. I'm so glad that other people talked about feeling nervous or not sharing very often, because I was sitting here thinking, oh, gosh, I don't want to share, but I know that I need to involve myself more. You know, mental and physical collapse. I too, like another person shared, I have years clean in another program, but I never worked the steps. And I came to OA 2 years ago, lost 100 pounds, and then and fell off. And for a long time, up literally until just yesterday or the day before, I would always say, you know, I had 8 months of abstinence where I lost 100 pounds. But I look now and I realize that I don't believe I was ever really abstinent. I white-knuckled a food plan and lost 100 pounds. And what happened afterwards, I fall off, and then I was so desperate to keep the weight off that I started abusing laxatives pretty severely. And I just got a new sponsor, and she had me do this assignment on writing a FU letter to God. And when she asked me to do it, the thing is I'm so desperate for recovery, because I'm in such this vicious cycle that I thought, okay, I'm going to write this letter to God, you know, but I don't know that I'm really angry at God. And when I started writing it, all these feelings came bubbling out about basically, you know, where were you? Where were you when I was little, and all this childhood trauma, and food was my only friend, and how can you expect me to trust you when you were never here? And it just, and so I went through this whole process, and on the other side of it, the next day I woke up, and I swear the day was, the sun shined brighter. You know, this was yesterday, two days ago. And so in that, I realized that no wonder I've struggled with relapses. Like food, that absolutely was my higher power. And so anyway, writing that letter was just really helpful, and I feel like hope. I just have like a spark of hope is the only way I know how to describe it. Like, okay. And yesterday I want to say, and this is God too, is I shared yesterday, or I just introduced myself on this call on the Vision for You, and two people reached out to me, and both of them, one of them reached out to me at a very opportune time, and I know that was God kind of saying, hey, I'm here. And so thank you for that. If those people are on, I appreciate it. And that's all I'll share. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Ruby H. from California. That was very touching. Wendy M. from Colorado, it's your turn to share, followed by Laura W.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. John, as always, thank you for your service, and everyone on the line. Shares are great. I want to say a couple of things. It says here that rebellious. I don't know if I wasn't, like I was rebellious towards everything. Like I lived in a world of Wendy. I was alone. I didn't belong. And everything was a problem, right? I didn't believe in anything consciously. But it's just, that's how I lived my life. You know, they say, we cease fighting everything and everyone. Well, I wasn't doing that, you know. I chose a different path for much of my life. So I just wanted to comment on that. And then, and in terms of, like, you know, business failure, insanity, for sure. Like, I've been in rehab twice. I've been to jail. I've been suicidal. A lot, right? And then God makes it possible. Like, that was God's divine plan for me, right? Because once it got so bad, so unmanageable, about a year and a half ago, God, you know, caught my attention. I don't know how to say this. God knocked on my door, right? Because it says he got to the point of self-destruction. Thank God. That is the good news. I got to the point of self-destruction. And what's so great about that word self-destruction is it means the destruction of self, right? Because all these things, insanity, freedom, jail, it's just self, right? Self-manifested. And something I heard recently, which I thought was so cool, is that all these things, right, all these Wendy's running the show things, is the defects block us from our assignment. Is that not cool? My defects. Right? That which I keep away the sunlight of the spirit effects is just Wendy's self. It blocks us from my assignment, like what I'm doing here on the planet assignment. Like, how cool is that? That is so hopeful and inspiring, you know, that I can be useful. I get to be useful. I get an assignment. Whether that's talking to a new sponsor or calling my mom or whatever the assignment is, I get to do it. I get to do it when our defects are blocked. And these are just all of our defects here. But yes, the destruction itself, right? I mean, it says it probably on every page of this book. And when we get out of self, God appears. And that's, you know, that's just, this is the gift. You know, and then on page 62, it says our self-centeredness will kill us. God makes that possible. Well, thank you, God. Thank you for almost killing me so I can get the attention that I need so you can wake me up, right, so that I can do your assignment, right?
Time.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy from Colorado. Wendy M. Laura W., it's your turn to share, followed by Janice K.
Hi, thank you very much. This is Laura W. from the Chicago area. I am driving, and I believe I'm in an area where I have a bad connection. I'm going in and out, so I am going to pass on sharing today, but just let you know that I enjoy this reading and the shares today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from Illinois. Janice K., it's your turn to share. And just a quick reminder for people, we're talking about page 55, the fifth paragraph. In this, you will read the experience of a man through two paragraphs ending, brought him to the point of self-destruction. And we're commenting on those both paragraphs today. And after Janice K., I'll take a couple more names. Go ahead, Janice.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. What hits me about this is just how well it fits the pre-program experience. Rebellious comes up in the second line. Well, we all start out as rebellious, whether it is external or just saying, no, I'm going to take myself completely out of the running. I don't like you. I will never be like you. And we rebel in a quiet way, sitting down in our corner by isolating ourselves and walling off the world. We are typically dogged by trouble and frustration. Business failure, insanity, fatal illness, and suicide, calamities in the immediate family. Well, those have happened. In the immediate family and in the family that created me and created my family culture, the one I grew up in. The dysfunctional home cannot teach a functional way of living. When disasters happen, what my people do is we look for who to blame. And there's always someone who can carry the blame. And then there's a morning fix-it session where we correct that person. I remember early in program walking away from a morning fix-it session that I was the subject of because I just didn't want to sit there and listen anymore. Post-war disillusionment. Well, coming to program feels like a post-war reality sometimes. Ever more serious, compulsive eating. Yep, I in there did that. Impending mental and physical collapse. I fully understand the belief, you know, don't trust your mind. You know, the mind is like a bad neighborhood. Don't go there after dark or alone. Well, how do you not go there after dark or alone when it lives, when you are it, or you think you are? The hope in this is that it can get better. When we hurt enough, we become willing to change. We have to be willing to look at the proper size of God. Is God bigger than my problems? That's the only qualification I'm aware of.
Time.
Thank you so much. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Janice K. And my mistake, we just have time for a minute and a half share. Who would like to take that who hasn't shared in the last few days?
Aya P.
Aya P. Go ahead and let us know where you're calling from if you would.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Aya P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor, and I live in Colorado. I just want to first welcome, take this minute and a half just at first just to welcome anyone who's new or struggling or coming back, because there really is hope, even when it feels like there's no hope. And and when it comes to this higher power, there's hope even when it feels like there's no hope to find a higher power. And when I came to program, I ran out of my first meeting because they talked about God and higher power, and it just was like not what I was coming for. I was coming because I couldn't stop eating and sticking my finger down my throat. And but I did find that people who were happy and not living in the horrors of the disease anymore, and talked about sponsorship, they talked about 12 steps, and they talked about a higher power. And so I was, oh, thank you. So I was willing to come to believe, and that is what happened along the way. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Chaya P. from Colorado, for ending the meeting for us. Thank you so much. It was beautiful. And now we are going to close from a reading with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. Will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, this is Kara L. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will certainly meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.